The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
A bump in the night. Your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Hood.
I'm gonna kill you.
Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true tales. It is Friday. It's February 27th. It's the end of the month. We had the first of the month. Now yeah. It's the end of the month.
Now it's the end. Yeah.
Man, closing it out strong with a lot of wild stuff. Thanks to everybody for all your lovely feedback from our Epstein Files episodes and bearing with us through this crazy time.
Yes, it is. Currently, Hillary is testifying
as we record
for Congress as we record this.
Yeah, man. Well, and they asked Hillary about UFOs, so we might get some good info out of it. I don't know if we're going to solve any crimes, but glad to see NPR, in addition to NPR, what we talked about in the episode, but now like the New York Times has picked up on the cover up. And so it is gaining momentum and bipartisan. It sounds like people are pissed about it in a good way. I mean, that's like a good thing, right? You want everyone to go, hang on, wait a minute. And we're like, took you this long to think? I think there might be a cover up here. It's like, yeah, buddy, there is. Come
and
aboard.
This isn't about Republicans or Democrats. This is about children that have been viciously abused. It's so it doesn't matter who you voted for. Don't we all want to protect the children?
It's like not a partisan to want to stop vicious criminals. So we'll see what happens with all that. Bill Clinton's supposed to testify. As you're hearing this released, Bill is supposed to be testifying. So we'll see what comes out of that. Maybe they will ask him about UFOs as well. And we'll finally, between Obama saying like, yeah, they're real. And now this, who knows? We'll see.
Well, hopefully we get some, you know, people that are currently in politics. I mean, yes, the Clintons are in politics, but you know what I mean? Like people that are actually in the administration having to testify, not just people that haven't been president in decades.
Well, regardless of who testifies, I'm like, give me all that information, that sweet, sweet info, and see the clips, because it sucks. It's not like being televised, so you have to wait till recordings and clips afterwards. But I'm sure we'll update you all in our next installment. But before we get going, man, it's been hot in Texas. It's been like 70, I'm say hot, but like for February, right? It's like 70 degrees, 70, well,
considering 80. Some people are like under 3 feet of snow. Yes. It's crazy that it's 80 degrees here.
Like 80 degrees. I was drenched in sweat yesterday and I was like, if it's going to be 80 degrees and I'm drenched in sweat, I would like a frozen drink and not just like at my house. So let's go on a cruise. Let's do that.
I love a strawberry daiquiri.
Yeah, I got you right. I know the perfect place to get a strawberry daiquiri for you.
Where's that?
Pina colada for me. It's aboard Crime Wave at Sea 2027, February 8th through the 12th. We're coming back on Lincoln's birthday, baby. And
nice.
We're going to set sail from beautiful Florida, take off, go check out some areas in the Bahamas, the Bermuda Triangle, hang out with Last Podcast on the Left, True Crime Campfire, True Crime Garage, Case File, A Paranormal Chicks, all kinds of friends. And you can come with us if you go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER to check out. You get $100 off your cabin and a meet and greet with us. And we're trying to get 69 cabins to go. So we're not quite there yet, but if you, we just a couple more to hit 69. And if you're the 69th cabin, we'll give you, we'll ask them to tell us who the 69th cabin is.
We will. They can tell us.
Give you a special prize.
And then you get the 69th. A quote, special prize.
We'll have dinner with you on the ship, but we got to get to 69, baby. But go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER when you check out to get that meet and greet with us, get $100 off your cabin, and let's get the fuck out of Dodge, man.
If you're the 420th cabin to book, we will fly you to Dallas and put you in the blunt rotation.
Absolutely. Yes, you get to come point. And you get to come to a in-person porch hang. Absolutely. You just have to be number 420 to sign up. So go to crimewaveatsea.com and use code SINISTER, and we'll see you out there in the high seas with whatever UAPs we're learning about and all this testimony and the supposed disclosure that's coming. So maybe by next February, it's already going to be out there of how to conjure a UAP. So we'll be able to do it ourselves.
You know what? They might be on the ship.
That's right. They're driving.
It could be.
Welcome
could
aboard. Be
a different ship that we're on next year.
I'm fine with that too. I'll take it. But you've, in the meantime, while we wait for our tropical vacation, you have curated quite a lineup today. These are some of the most jaw-dropping, truly. I was shocked at several of them. Just the connections of the world, man. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing place.
There are a lot of connections, you know, it's a big world, but when you break it down, we're all just small little things on it that and connect.
Connected somehow too. We're all maybe not 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, but we're all some amount of degrees of Kevin Bacon.
That is true.
Don't forget.
Well, I'm Christy. 69 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I think I have to be 6'7" because I'm two degrees.
Tell me why Simon said that yesterday.
No, boy, you're so young.
And Tommy was like, "Where did you hear that, Ella?"
Of course. Nice. That big sister.
Oh, man. Yeah. Tommy was like, "What chapter of your book do you want?" He was like, "Chapter 6, 6'7". And I was like, "Oh, my God."
Not you, little one. Well, enjoy these next 6, 7 stories. Just six, but
you know what? Could be a seventh one day. Well, this first one is from Laura and is called, let's get creepy. That's not it. Just made up a new line.
We get it. We get whatever we want, whenever we want.
Well, let's get freaky. This first one's from Laura and is called, "Did my coworker plan his death?" Laura writes, "Hi, ladies. I won't spend time gushing because I know this is a long one, but just know that whenever I get to hear your voices, it makes my day better. Y'all are some of my favorite people in the whole world, even though we've never met. The events of this story happened a year ago, almost to the day, but I didn't realize it was a freaky story until today. I'm going to protect all identifying information. I work for a small but international company headquartered in the U.S. The story is about my next-door neighbor in the office, a man we'll call Don. Don was a C-level employee, what I would call a big boss. He was a nice guy, but admittedly, I didn't know him that well. He'd only been with the company about 4 months when this story occurred. So here's what happened. The day started out like any other Tuesday in the office. I was working with my headphones on, listening to music, while my boss was in her weekly leadership meeting with all the other decision makers, about 10 people. I noticed out my window that a police cruiser was pulling into our parking lot with its lights flashing. I assumed there was an emergency at another building in the office complex and barely had time to process that thought when I felt heavy, hurried footsteps racing down the hallway and saw a police officer run past my interior door in a blur. I stepped out to see what was going on and was told that Don had experienced a medical emergency and was not breathing or responsive. From there, it was chaos. The police officer was on his radio communicating with dispatch while two physicians who worked there performed life-saving measures. I was told to go outside and flag down the paramedics so they could get in as quickly as possible when they arrived. They arrived, loaded Don onto a gurney, and wheeled him out with a compression machine pumping deep into his sternum. I had never seen anything like it and couldn't believe it wasn't breaking his ribs. The entire experience was incredibly traumatic for everyone in the office. About 30 minutes later, we were told he could not be saved and was pronounced deceased at the hospital. quickly and carefully wrote an announcement to the company informing them of Don's passing, packed up my things, and went home to process what had happened. We had grief counselors come in and were encouraged to talk through the event to help us process. That weekend, I attended his funeral. I met his wife, his two college-aged children, and a very large extended family he left behind. It was clear he was a deeply beloved man. The morning of Don's death, he had told everyone that he'd experienced concerning chest pains the day before and had a doctor's appointment scheduled for 3 o'clock that afternoon, so he'd be leaving early. During the leadership meeting, Don presented his portion, sat back down at the table, and a few minutes later, while another team member was presenting, his head tilted back and he let out what sounded like a snore. Someone made a joke about how he needed to get to bed earlier and tried to wake him up. Then he started turning blue. That's when the chaos began. As I mentioned, there were two highly trained physicians in the room, so he truly could not have received faster medical care. Not privy to the official cause of death, we all assumed he had suffered a heart attack, grieved, and moved on with our lives. Now to present day, and the secret my boss shared with me. When gathering Don's belongings from his desk for his wife to pick up the day he died, the HR representative noticed he had only two items on his desk, a personal laptop and a manila envelope. Thinking the envelope contained something work-related, she opened it. Inside was an order to report to jail to begin a 5-year prison sentence the very day Don died. There was no doctor's appointment. It was a prison appointment. Apparently, at his previous company, Don had embezzled hundreds of thousands of dollars, and for some reason, the background check failed to catch it when he was hired. The HR representative also shared that when Don's wife was called during the emergency, her first question was, "Is he dead?" And her second question was, "Did he have a life insurance policy with you?" Not damning on its own, but it certainly helps paint a picture. After learning this, I spoke with my mom and questioned how it possibly could be a coincidence, but also how it could have just been intentional. He couldn't have planned a medical event that resulted in his death just to avoid a 5-year prison sentence, could he? My mom asked, "Was he diabetic?" And suddenly a memory of a conversation with Don was unlocked. Yes, he was diabetic, meaning he could have injected himself with delayed-release insulin before the meeting, presented, and then died on schedule, in front of witnesses, with no one the wiser. I am now fully convinced this is exactly what happened. Don had no intention of reporting to jail that day. Given the timing of the meeting and the time he was supposed to report, he wouldn't even have made it through traffic. I can't believe someone would do this just to avoid a 5-year prison sentence. But after attending his funeral and seeing his family, I don't think his conviction was widely known. It may have been, in his mind, an honor killing. Don was of Indian heritage, and I've heard that in some cultural contexts, taking one's own life can be viewed as a way to avoid bringing shame on the family. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Could this have been a coincidence, or did Don plan his death and disguise it as a medical emergency to ensure his family received his life insurance? What do you think, Laura? Well, I am no professional detective, but I think that, Laura, I would agree with what you agree with.
Yeah, I think your assessment is possibly accurate given the circumstantial evidence. That is something that can happen. I sadly have experienced with this personally. I have a family member who died by suicide using insulin, and it is... I was not there. Nobody was there. But it is my understanding that part of the onset causes this like severe hypoglycemia, and part of the onset causes this kind of snore sound that you kind of go into a seizure and your head might lilt back. And like Laura said, there's two medical professionals without, you know, equipment or something to test. It would look like a cardiac event. And especially if he planted the seed by saying like, "I might be having a cardiac event today," you know, so it would easily look like a cardiac event if you looked into it. If you were diabetic, you would also know how your body acts on either long delayed release or rapid acting insulin. And I don't think you would be able to detect this at autopsy because he would have, you know, this amount in him, you know, whatever amounts in him. And depending what happened you know, on the way there, if they didn't have a reason to wonder about that, I don't know that they would test for it. And Laura's right. If you die by suicide, most life insurance policies will not pay out. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I was wondering about that. I'm assuming the insurance believes he died of natural causes or a heart attack or whatever. The phone call to the wife makes me think she may have known what he was up to.
Or, yeah, he, you know, whether he says it in advance or says it, you know, in a rage or something of like, well, you might just find me dead at work. You know, I don't know. I'll die at work before I go serve this sentence or something like that. But you're right. I don't know if that would be – that is a way to take care of your family, though, is
– yeah.
Having life. And oftentimes, if you're a C-suite executive, you probably have a $1 to $2 million policy. It's sort of irresponsible not to, you know, given like the amount that you make and like you're the sole provider for your family and stuff. So that's really tough to be at the funeral and see his family, because I guarantee you those kids in college would rather have not seen their dad every day for 5 years to see him every day for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
And it's really heartbreaking.
I almost viewed it as he and his wife had a conversation, like not even angry, mm-hmm, just like, mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do because mm-hmm. of money purposes / you may be onto something with like an honor killing. He didn't mm-hmm. want to bring disgrace to his family. I'm honestly surprised for hundreds of thousands of dollars of embezzlement, it was a 5-year sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, people steal way more and don't see any jail time, or mm-hmm. people do a lot less and see way more jail time. But it is, when you think about it in that way of like, there are, you know, folks that have gone 20 years for a little bit of weed, for the amount of mm-hmm. weed I go buy from a lovely boutique, you know, every other week. So it is a short term, you know, it's a long term solution or permanent solution to what is, it's 5 years is a long time, but it's not your whole life. It's not your kid's whole life. And mm-hmm. I know, you know, as a kid of a dead dad, we all say it, you know, one more second with them, you know, five. Mm-hmm. Oh, if you said you don't get to see your dad for 5 years, then you get to have him for the rest. I would have taken that. But it doesn't sound like the kids were consulted in this.
Yeah. I mean, that's a hard thing to consult your kids about. Yeah. I think with anything like this, the thought process of what gets you there, you know, who knows how long and winding that road was. And if he was considering like, this will help my family and not hurt them. And I think a lot of people that complete suicide have those same thoughts.
Yeah, certainly not logical. It's more coming from a deep, deep pain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a traumatic thing to witness, Laura. And I have never in person seen one of those. I forget what they're called.
They make me.
They have a certain name. The machines that pump
plunger
you.
Plunger kind of things, yeah.
They're, from what I've read, kind of controversial, because they can often do more harm than good, is because they are pushing so hard, especially if it's on a smaller person or a kid or something. Others say it does more than a person's hands can do, but I don't know. I feel like a person's hands, like you got your hands on another person, there's something you can like feel there mm-hmm. that like just the pressure. Machinery can't it's feel. Just, they don't know like, oh, yeah. This feels different. Let me mm-hmm. back off. Or I don't know. Maybe it does. But I've seen videos of people where I got to look up the name of what these are called.
No, I hear you. To me, it's the difference in someone is hammering nails into a house and someone's using a nail gun. And one of them, you can decide if you're going to whack the hammer and put the nail in. And the other one, it's just.
What's the thing that a machine does compressions Lucas. On a person? Lucas, that's it. I knew it was a person's name. Yeah, that Lucas machine is wild to see. It's very traumatic. Like mm-hmm. just seeing that alone, I think for a lot of people is traumatic because it's very loud, very fast and forceful. And oftentimes can do a lot of harm from what I've heard. Hopefully it also helps save a lot of lives.
No, truly. I was worried. I was like, does it just know what pressure? And apparently it does. It senses what pressure, I guess, to the correct depth and rate of pressure too. But it does seem like it looks like a nail gun. But again, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. But it looks like I said,
it's hard to see. Yeah.
It's very, very disturbing. So, Laura, you definitely hope you've healed from that, because something like that happening suddenly at what's normally, you know, you're listening to your headphones, normal place to work, that'll do a number on you as well. So take care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm glad your company brought in grief counselors. That's something that should just be standard. I'm glad to see it. Normalize that more.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
I've been trying to get more fiber and protein into my diet lately, and one thing that doesn't have a lot of that typically is bread, which I love bread and pasta. Man, I not more than my kids or Tommy, but it's in the top five of things that I like. And Hero Bread has now made it possible where I don't have to cut out all of the things that I love and still I'm able to get the fiber and protein I need. And dun, da, da, dun, they sent us macaroni noodles.
So many good pasta options now. We got pasta, and now you can make avocado toast, a bagel sandwich, anything you want. With Hero Bread, you can focus on your health goals and still indulge in the soft, fluffy experience you love, like enjoying a nutritious breakfast wrap, avocado toast, grilled cheese with a cozy soup, or family burger night. Their products are delicious and flavorful, but have ultra low net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and are high in fiber. Have you tried? You got some nudes now in addition to your bags?
Got bags, nudes. Breads, nice. Everything is delicious. You would never know that it has low carbs. The kids love it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have nothing but great things to say about Hero Bread. Truly.
And Hero Bread makes sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, and dinner rolls. And
all of it's delicious.
If I'm putting a bagel on a plate that's like full carb bagel and Hero bagel, because I know your bagel might be your favorite Hero product, yeah? Maybe.
Yeah, it is.
If I put them plate by plate, you're going to pick the Hero one every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to taste better too. See? You know? So
you would never know it's low net carb and high fiber from the texture. Get that soft, fluffy experience you know and love with that next savory breakfast sandwich. Or you could do a late night grilled cheese, family taco Tuesday. The possibilities are endless.
The possibilities now are endless.
Y'all can have that one free, Hero. You're welcome.
Get monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like their 4 gram net carb bagel and new surprises coming this year.
Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co, use code creepy at checkout. That's creepy at hero.co.
Well, this next one is from S and is a reply to a Freaky Friday we had last week. I just wanted to help and be helped. S writes, "Hi friends, short but true. Thanks so much for everything you do, the care, compassion, and social justice rage you put out into the universe every single week. My favorite podcasters by a mile. I'm writing this at 10 a.m. on Friday, February 13th. I was listening to the Freaky Friday story today about the woman who stopped to help the driver with the medical emergency, and knew I had to pause the episode and immediately write in. While listening to this story, I was shocked to be hearing an exact copy of the story one of my best friends told me last week, just from a different point of view. When the bright pink scrubs were mentioned, it was confirmed that this was, in fact, the same situation. My friend, who is a mid-30s male, about 250 pounds and over 6 feet tall, was driving home in the evening when he passed a small woman in bright pink scrubs frantically waving at passing cars on the side of a cold, dark road. He started to slow down to see if he could help, but then changed his mind and kept driving. Why did he change his mind? For many of the same reasons the OP didn't get too close to the driver of the crashed car. As my friend is a large male, it was dark, fairly isolated, and at that point, there was no one else on the road. He didn't know if it would be safe to stop for her. The woman he passed was small and obviously in a vulnerable situation. My friend had a million thoughts race through his head as he approached the scene. What if I scare her? What if she's having a mental health crisis and takes off running into the dark because my presence as a huge male terrifies her? I'm not a trained professional, but what if stopping makes her uncomfortable and makes it worse? What if she's been attacked and I stop to help and get accused of a crime? For all these reasons and more, he didn't stop. I don't blame him. He's well aware of how he moves in the world can impact female-presenting folks. He's someone who recognizes his privilege and works every day to show up in a way that doesn't make anyone feel less safe. He told me that he ultimately decided that his stopping wouldn't make the situation any better. The writer of the story should know that he did call 911. He did tell the operator how worried he was and stressed how serious the situation appeared. He asked the operator if he should turn around and go back to help, but the operator told him that help was en route and he should keep off the scene. He helped in the way he knew would be safest at the time, but felt so bad about not stopping that he looped around to drive by the scene again. By the time he got back, the ambulance was there. It was only then that he realized there was a car crashed into a tree. The first time he was so focused on the woman trying to wave down help that he completely missed that. OP should know that he still feels bad that he didn't stop and try to help. He told me that if he'd had a woman with him in the car, he would have stopped without hesitation. He also read the article about the accident and was racked with guilt for not doing enough, all while asking similar what-if questions. I'm writing to say that unfortunately, the actions of some terrible men, while disproportionately affecting women, also affects the good men. It makes it hard for everyone to help in a way that we need as a community. I guess it boils down to needing a huge shift in our communities, needing to reinstate the matriarchy, and that making women safer ultimately will help everyone, including random men who have medical emergencies in their cars. I hope OP finds some solace in this story. I hope it helps her understand that she did help in a way that was safest for her. She did nothing wrong and acted heroically. Her very presence will give the family some answers, and they'll know the driver wasn't completely alone in his last minutes. She cared enough to stop and help how she could. Her actions were important. Sending love and hope to y'all from Canada. All Americans on the right side of history should know that the world is cheering them on. It's going to be a tough go, but I'm confident the outcome will be worth it for everyone who is working to fight back against the septic tank that is your administration right now.
Well, S, thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you for this, sharing this information so Mads knows she's not alone.
This is really fascinating, and I think the first time that we've had the same story from two different points of view that someone heard the story and then was like, oh, someone else told me. You know, it wasn't even like two people writing in the same story. So it's just fascinating, like, when you realize we really don't know what's going on through everybody's heads. That's, you know, like, we're always the star of our own show. We're worrying about ourselves. And like, when you, and not in a negative way, just stop to think, like, and that applies to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's not like, I don't want to stop because I don't want to help. It's, I'm worried if I stop, this woman could be in already a situation that I make worse.
Well, and it's just that it's so hard when we are in our own kind of siloed lives. Like, you're in your car, S's friend's in his car. He couldn't know, you know, it's not the same as quite like walking down the street or something. So his thoughts being, oh, well, she's in scrubs and she's got it. Meanwhile, we hear Mads's point of view of like, I am alone and freaking out and I don't think I'm doing this right and I'm panicking. You know, we just make these kind of assumptions about each other and even assumptions of what someone will assume about us, right? Like, if I get out of a car, she's going to think I'm big, which I have many family members who are on the tall side, the broad side, who are cognizant of that and do try to, you know, manage their space, which, when the matriarchy takes over, we'll all be able to take up the amount of space we need. But the, I feel like the core message here is like, these are all people that every one of the people here that feels like they are not doing enough did the best they could do in the moment. And that's all you can ask of somebody. And I hope that Mads and your friend S can go to bed at night and know peacefully you did what you could do in that moment.
Yeah. And anyone else that sees situations like this, it's a trauma to to witness things like this. And then the guilt can set in of, I didn't do enough. And the reminder of, you did what you could. Because the reality is, there are many times when we're limited either from societal expectations or presumptions to just our own physical limitations.
100%. My current therapist, my previous therapist before she retired, Dr. Linda, she really helped shepherd me through my legal aid service, because when somebody comes to you at legal aid and you're helping them with a single legal problem, they probably have 20 other things going on in their life that they need an expert to guide them on. And literally my mandate was to help them with the legal part. And I am a helper. So I was like, well, maybe I could do this and maybe I could do that. It's how, when I was in private practice, my solo practitioner, I ended up helping my elderly client move her whole entire apartment and cat. I needed to have boundaries, right? I need to go to therapy. But what Dr. Linda taught me was like, you have to ask yourself genuinely, truly, what am I good at? What do I have to offer? What do I have to bring to the table? And if you're genuinely bringing what you have to the table, then all the other needs, you are welcome to note what they are and acknowledge what they are. But you also have to note and acknowledge what you can and cannot do. She said, you're a lawyer. If someone came to you and went, man, I need a root canal, you wouldn't go, all right, tilt your head back. You know, you really have got to assess what you can do. And the problem is, in situations like this, you think, well, anybody should just be able to pull over on the side of the road. And it's like, it just depends. So I will always hammer on that right to be organization, because they try to give you a wealth of opportunities to help in situations like this. There's like five different things you could do, because maybe stopping isn't good because the dispatcher said, don't stop. You're going to be in the way. You're going to block the ambulance. So get assessing how you fit in. And it sounds like your friend did what was the right thing, which was to ensure that help was on the way, and, you know, going back and double checking her and all that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like anything else, Dr. Linda said, if you pray, give it to God. If you believe in the universe, get you a box and write it down and say, dear universe, please take care of this person. And just accept and understand you can't do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so you did what you could. And I hope the universe takes care of them and you as well, folks. Yeah. Both of y'all.
My therapist has me do a box too.
Nice.
It's to put all my things in, though, that I don't want to worry about until the next session.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, that's
perfect.
It's
like you've already dedicated an hour of your week or an hour and a half to work on these things. And then you can put them away in your little box that I've designed in my head. It looks like a treasure chest, in case anybody's wondering.
Hell yeah.
And so they don't go away. You're not neglecting them. They're just safe in the box until next session, when like that's your time to talk about them. Because otherwise, I find myself in a spiral and just constantly thinking about stuff. So that has been a good lesson for me to like not compartmentalize, but dedicate specific time for certain things, so it's not all consuming.
Truly. I mean, I would just have racing thoughts and stay up all night and sick to my stomach and research and Google. And by the way, I was like couldn't bill for it. You know, I was like union. I had like 40 hours. So then I'm like, she's like, the time that you need to be restoring yourself to go back and help these people, you're now, I won't say wasting, but she's like, you're misallocating it because
you're depleting yourself.
Yes. And she's like, you're not helping these people because you're just depleting yourself with all this. So all that to say, I hope that the universe box, I envisioned that it was like a shoebox I had covered in construction paper and stickers and cut a little hole in the top.
Like a Valentine's Day box. Love it.
Cool. So, you know, get you a Valentine's box, a treasure chest, something like that. And let, you know, the gnomes of the woods or God or whomever you think.
Or the gonks.
The gonks will come get it and take care of it. We've been talking shit about them, and meanwhile, they're waddling out of the woods.
Oh, dude, take
all of our worries.
A gonk yesterday. A fucking Easter gonk. I was like, this bitch is everywhere.
Oh, man. Yeah, they will trot them out. We're going to see gonks in swimsuits, I'm sure, too.
Oh, gonks in suits. One last thing about the visual thing, because those things help me a lot, as my therapist also suggested, if anybody relates more to this, is people envisioning, like, at the bank when you put your money in the chute and it goes and just sucks up.
Yeah.
Just like that, but with your brain. You put whatever thought in there you don't want to think about, and it just zoops, goes into somewhere else until you decide to get it back out.
This is for the bank tube. Sounds like a bank tube problem. And that's for me to just put shit in my mental bank tube.
And
I'll take that.
Going to the ATM for one more week.
Not checking my balance. Well, that's, hey, I'm still that one. I like that.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, we'll just roll the dice. There's no need to check the balance. We'll find out there's not enough.
If I get declined, I'll know. And then I'll be like, I don't know. It must be an expired card.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so weird. I don't know. Let me try
this
one.
I bet it's identity theft. Well, thank you. S, for truly, this is such a good reminder that we really are all more connected than we ever could think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, Link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Well, this next one is from Anonymous and also to Mads. Mads, you have sparked a lot of conversation, good conversations. And the subject line is called To Mads from Freaky Friday 201. Hi, beautiful people. I just listened to Mads' story about stopping for a man who experienced a medical episode and crashed while in the car. I want to tell Mads, both of you, and everyone else something. I was a death investigator for a long time. I had to talk to people who had witnessed death more times than I can count. One thing that all of those people, including you, Mads, have in common is that they stopped when so many don't. That alone changes a person's last few minutes because you serve as a witness for them. That is a sacred position. There are trained human medical professionals who freeze when someone starts to pass. Even if that someone is a loved one or family member, and even if that medical professional does CPR daily, we in the healthcare field, whether it's human or animal, all know what's happening. We feel it in our bones. When we see that outside of our job, some people can only bear witness, and that is good. Mads, you did everything you could in that situation, and chances are you would have responded the same way no matter who was driving. Like Heather said, everything beyond what happens is an unknown. But I can tell you from firsthand experience that his family was told a bystander stopped, that you called for emergency services, that you flagged down others. His family was more than likely so glad that you were there because regardless of what you were feeling, that man was not alone. Someone could tell emergency services what happened. You directly contributed to giving his family answers and relief. That is one of the best things you could have done. The world is a shit bucket right now, but here's hoping we can dump it out. Take care, Anonymous.
Well, thank you, Anonymous, for that great sign-off.
Just another great reminder that when we think we're not doing enough, someone like this, that like their job is to, and what a job, first of all, a death investigator, the things that you bear and witness, like Anonymous, you also are doing such amazing work because that is not a field everybody could find themselves in. But we, all of us feel like we're not doing enough when we are, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, it's even more than what others might be able to do.
Truly, just recognizing what part you play. And truly, Anonymous is right. I think just the mere presence is vital. when my dad's best friend, Danny, passed away, or not Danny, my dad's best friend, Danny's wife passed away, they were in a car accident and they were older and they were severely hit by a super heavy truck, a drunk driver and a rock hauler hit them. And Danny was unfortunately knocked unconscious and his wife was badly injured. And I'll never forget watching the news, a guy from across the way, it was this, you know, we're in Texas, this burly dude comes running over from like a mechanic shop or something and just sat with her and held her hand. And when he was telling the news afterwards, he's like, I didn't know what to do. And I just didn't, you know, I was panicking and da, da, da. And he said, I just held her hand and she kept asking me, am I going to be okay? And I just kept saying, yes, ma'am, you are. I'm here for you. You're going to be okay. And you know, and spiritually, perhaps she was okay. Physically, she did not make it out of that accident alive, but we were always very grateful that it was not like, you know, Danny couldn't be there for her because he was, you know, moaning in and out of consciousness. And just the fact that later on when he woke up, he was devastated that he couldn't be there for his wife, but he never stopped being grateful for that man and just was like, thank God, you know, somebody was there to even just like be there, much less, you know, you don't have to jump in the car and hold their hand. If that person was unconscious and looked out and saw, oh God, there's someone in scrubs. You know, I'm not alone. That's you're just even you standing there is less scary to go, oh good, someone's called 911. And especially for their family, like Anonymous said, for their family to go, oh, thank God, you know, people got there as soon as they could. We did as much as they could for him.
And there's answers, you know, because, I mean, if your loved one dies alone, there's no one to give you the story of what happened unless there is a bystander like this. I remember this was long before I was born, but I've been told the story. My parents, like, beloved Beagle got out and was struck by a car. And the... I don't even believe it was the person that hit her. Someone else that saw it stopped and put her in the car to drive her to the vet. And on the way, she passed. But my mom was always grateful that, like, she wasn't alone in her last few moments.
That's what I remember waking up as a kid. It was the first pet we lost. And some lady, our cat Spot was my cat, really, had run across the street and got hit. And a lady had picked him up and brought him in, like, brought him to our porch. And I just remember being so crushed.
But you got him back. You know? Then at least you can... you know, have some sort of closure.
Those like early death moments, you're like, why am I crying right now? But it's like that weird memory of like, oh, but I do. I think honestly what made me cry is like the kindness of that lady. When you think about it, in this, like, you know, we pass a million things on the road. So like the times that people do stop, we do appreciate it. So all that to say, Mads, you've brought us all together to, you know, cry and memorialize people that we love and that we've lost and animals as a vet tech. Mads, I'm sure you appreciate how much we've loved all our animals throughout the years. So again, 6 degrees, baby, of Kevin Bacon, of Mads. Who knows? We're all 6 degrees of Mads.
What if Mads is Kevin Bacon?
The whole time.
Oh my God. What Kevin if we Bacon, found that out?
Kevin Bacon's like, I'm no longer with, or Kira Sedgwick and I are no longer actors. We are running an animal rescue. I would believe it. They do have
first
a farm.
First of all, I feel like, don't they live on a farm? I feel like they could. I think
they're ready for it. They're ready to
aging
do it right
like
now.
Fine wine. Both of them are.
For real. Well, Anonymous, Mads, S, thank you all for kind of bringing a little bit of closure to, not closure, but a little a round edge there to an otherwise kind of a heartbreaking story.
And I love when people from other fields that can offer different perspectives write in, like, I don't know, it just makes everyone feel less alone. You know, that Anonymous, you heard a story from a stranger that you're like, but I know because of my line of work that you really did a really good thing. And just to reach out and share that is such a helpful and selfless thing to do. God damn, I can't stop crying.
Me neither. And I'm about to make it worse too, because I was like, so, you know, we always think like,
I don't have on waterproof mascara.
I don't either. What if my Anonymous said the world's a shit bucket right now and we're here's hoping we can dump it out. I think we all feel like super helpless a lot of the times. And sometimes you don't know. It can be as simple as sending somebody an email.
Yeah, no, for sure. We get emails all the time of people just saying, I got to share this with you. It's not even intended to be read aloud. So, you know that we see those and we appreciate them, even if we maybe don't reply to every single one of them. But, you know, we're all in this together. And I feel like everybody that listens to the show and stuff we're all on the good side. Heather had to mute herself.
Sorry, I was blowing my nose so bad. I had to mute myself briefly. No, I think so. I think that's that the more people I see like you raising kids like you, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, that's good. Let's propagate the world with like more teaching each other who are already here and teaching the little ones like, this is what you do. You're helpers. You help people out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Teach the kids to look for the helpers and teach the grownups to be the helpers.
Absolutely. I think the more we're all looking out for each other, and as we've said many times, and S also recommended, if we just got back to this being a matriarchal society, perhaps we'd all be a little better off.
We're on the way.
We're doing it, you all. We're doing it.
We're on the way.
Well, thank you, all three of you, for those emails.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, it seems like a great transition to this next one, which is from Sarah. And the subject line is parenting in this hellscape of a timeline. Hello to two of my favorite humans who have also been radicalized by basic human decency. My name is Sarah, she, her. I was overcome with emotion while listening to last week's Freaky Friday, 2/13/26. Heather telling Gen Z and Gen Alpha, welcome to the party, let's fuck it up. And Christy sharing her thoughts on how we are all in this timeline together for a reason really stuck with me and gave me renewed hope. I just want to give you both my sincerest thanks and the biggest virtual hug for helping me to not feel crazy for having such intense emotions and sometimes daily breakdowns over what is happening both in our country and around the world. Your wisdom, vulnerability, and honesty are truly a gift to so many of us, and I hope you take that to heart. I wanted to share my thoughts slash struggles lately while parenting in this hellscape of a timeline. Maybe this isn't Freaky Friday material, but I think it will be cathartic for me to write out, and if it does make it to the show, that I can help at least one other person feel seen. I would also love to hear Christy's thoughts as a fellow parent. I'm the mother to a 4-year-old little boy who is as sweet and sassy as they come. Being his mama and his safe space is truly the most precious thing I could ever ask for. Parenting is hard as fuck in the best of times, especially since we don't have family close by, and now it is simply undoing me. My husband and I are doing our best to make sure we teach our little one empathy, emotional intelligence, and that all beings matter, period, full stop. We want him to be brave and kind and not afraid to speak up and act for those who need help. And yet, I worry every day that as he gets older, the manosphere will still somehow sink its vile teeth into him and turn my kind, funny little boy into a hateful, harmful being. I just can't help thinking of all the parents whose sons have been red-pilled and the pain they must feel and the constant wondering of how could this have happened? Because of the stress of this collective trauma we're all experiencing, I also have much less patience and I tend to snap at him way more than I used to. I feel horrible about this and know that he deserves so much better. I know that I need to practice what I preach with him and regulate myself much better. I also find myself getting more and more triggered by his normal for a 4-year-old aggressive behavior. He is a highly energetic kiddo whose favorite thing is to play monsters or battle with pretend weapons. Sometimes I struggle with the balance of letting him play like a normal kid, but also having conversations with him about how some people might not like to play rough and we need to respect boundaries, Lots of talks about boundaries and consent these days. Do any other parents struggle with feeling like all of these types of conversations are critical, but also not wanting to feel like we're shoving it down their throats? It is such a hard balance. Thank you for reading. And again, I am so grateful to you both for being a light and a voice of reason in these insane times. I like to think we were in the same coven in a past life and are, in a way, part of the same coven now. Let's keep going. All my love, Sarah.
Sarah, we're definitely in the same coven and a past coven. And thank you so much for the kind words. You are saying out loud what so many of us feel. And in my opinion, you're doing all the right things to prevent something like that happening. I'm sure that there are parents that have tried to do all the right things and it still can happen. I would assume that the chances are lower if you are spreading this type of message from the jump. One thing my therapist says to me a lot when I'm like, I'm just worried I'm a bad mom because XYZ. And she'll say, bad moms don't worry about that stuff because they don't see it as a problem. Mm-hmm. So, if you're such an aware parent that you're worried about these things and you're already taking measures to prevent them and instill the kind of values you want him to have, I think you're doing much better than so many others.
Yeah, you're already thinking about it. And mm-hmm. I think you're doing it the right way where it's just like moment to moment. I'm not a parent. I can't give you advice on that part. But I feel like all of us have this kind of feeling that this time is going to last forever. It's going to be horrible forever. And just like I think other eras in our life, it's been a rough, terrible time. My dad grew up in Detroit in the 60s. It was literally riots. This family had to leave. Mm-hmm. His parents had to decide to leave states and jobs and stuff. So that's not to say that what we're going through right now is not awful. It's worse because it's now. You know what I mean? Like the best food I've ever had is the food I'm currently eating because I get to eat right now is how I think of things. So if you are going through something, the presence of it, and especially if you're like, well, yeah, I could survive things, but I'm sure from a parental perspective, you're like, well, I want this to be happening for my kids, though. And so I feel like we all have this kind of urgency of mm-hmm. like, we want this to be over. They deserve a better childhood. They deserve a better, because they do, right? So mm-hmm. I hear you. I'm sure this is, like you said, you're trying to regulate somebody else. Meanwhile, the world's like, I'm going to shake you real hard and dysregulate you. And you're like, yeah, I could do both things.
Yeah. And that's very hard. And make sure, Sarah, that you're taking time to rejuvenate and refill your own cup, too. I also relate to the struggle of wanting to teach them things without shoving it down their throats, because that is something I feel like all the time. I'm like, not everything has to be a lesson. Like, lessons will arise, but personally, because of like everything that's going on, I think so many of us feel like extra pressure to like lay it on thick. And you're like, no, but you don't understand, 4-year-old shit is fucked right now. So you got to really make sure that you don't get red pilled. Like they don't know anything other than their 4 years. So just being the thoughtful parent you are and knowing that you don't have to be saying all of the things to make them a better person or kid, just being with them and being present is also going to do that.
I remember learning a lot of stuff from my parents, not being overtly told, but more so just going, oh, like literally putting it together of like, oh, that's what you say to somebody when that happens. Or like, that's when you make, you're upset someone, this is how you apologize. And like mm-hmm. literally being now as old as I am being like, God, I must've been Simon's age or a little bit older, when things come into my head that I'm like, oh, I remember my parents doing that. So rest assured, the good stuff will last.
And the show not tell attitude.
For sure. And also don't forget that it's your son's first time on earth and it's yours too. Like you're trying your best and you've got a little bit more time clocked in than he does, but it's still both of y'all's first time. So give yourself some grace as well. And
yeah, I feel like, definitely.
Guess what kids want? Just somebody to be with them. So like you said, your presence is a present to him.
Absolutely. Yes. And give yourself grace. Absolutely. I think we all deserve to give ourselves more grace these days than we are. So you know,
like, dial it up on the grace and celebrate the wins. I feel like this is a running metaphor, but Coach Bennett always says to struggle is to try valiantly without giving up. He's like, if you're struggling, mm-hmm. that means you're still trying, because and it takes a lot of bravery to even try at the beginning, much less to try despite adversity. So the fact that you're still trying, even though it's real fucking hard, that's extremely brave. And that mm-hmm. is something to be celebrated. And all the little steps, I think, you know, we think, well, I did a run yesterday and like all I did today was put my shoes on. Well, I can't go for a run if I don't put my shoes on. So like understanding having a good day involves all the things you do for yourself. So when you get a good night's sleep and you get something to eat and you take a moment with your kids. So don't take that for granted, I guess, too. Celebrate all the things mm-hmm. that you are able to do, even if you're like, well, I should be doing these. Fuck should. Should's ruined my life. So should is dead to me. But it's like you did do something and celebrate the thing you did do. You deserve. We all mm-hmm. deserve. We got out of bed today. We deserve a fucking ribbon for that. Like, are you kidding me? This is some head covers over the head kind of news and shit that we're all living through. The fact that any of the you're listening to this and you're driving or working a job or making food for your kids or even just sitting staring off into the abyss and you're still here. You're still fucking here. We all get our ribbons today.
Yeah. I used to tell people when I coached improv a lot, because they would say, well, I should have done this in this scene. I was like, you could have. That doesn't mean you should have.
Bam. There you it know? Is. It's just two letters, baby. Take the shit and turn it to a C.
Yeah.
No more SH word, just the
no,
C word.
No, no. Well, one of my favorite words starts with an SH, so I got to keep that one.
Just the one. You keep that one. Well, Sarah, this is Freaky Friday material because it's what you want to talk about and it's what we want to talk about. So thanks for being part of the coven.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step 4, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Plus, terms and conditions apply.
Well, this next one's from my daughter Anonymous, and the subject line is ICE in LFK. Hello, ladies. I had to write to people who I know will understand my fear and why I am upset. I live in Lawrence, Kansas, and ICE is here. I was getting coffee before taking my daughter to school, and there was a guy yelling, ICE is here in our fucking town! ICE is here! There are always people walking the streets and yelling at cars and light poles, so I didn't think much of it. Then I got on Facebook and ICE was at a gas station right across the street taking someone in. My heart sank. That guy was right and it was happening right there. A friend of mine said that in her apartment complex, ICE came and took a grandpa to a couple of the kids that her kids knows. She was so shook up telling me about what she had seen and how upset her kids and the other kids were. Then the next day, I was taking my daughter to school and there were people stationed at different parts of the school, and they had whistles. This is when I lost it. I had to wait until my daughter got out to cry. Even she is upset and worried about the people in our family and her friends. I knew it was going to come sooner or later, but it's happening now. It's so hard to know what to do and how to do it. I want to protect everyone and save everyone, but I can't alone. And then just not knowing who you can trust and how they feel about things. That's the part that scares me the most. There have been some people that I felt like I could trust, but they have shown their true colors, and it scares me to death. I don't know where the light at the end of the tunnel is. I have children that I have to protect, and I feel like I'm up against a huge monster, and I don't know who will fight with this. Thank you for reading my story and for being on the right side of the line. It's sad it has to be this way, but what are we supposed to do? We just can't stand here and let it happen.
You're right. We can't. And I think people in your town are not allowing it to happen. Yeah. Yelling, alerting people that they're there. The whistles, you know, have been a big player in alerting people that ICE is around. I'm so sorry that your town is going through this. I was out somewhere yesterday and I had the thought, I wonder, like, why I haven't just seen ICE out and about. And then I was like, is it because we're in Texas and like we're not being as targeted as most because we're a red state, hopefully soon to be blue? But so many people are dealing with this, and my heart goes out to all of you.
There have been ICE raids in Dallas, but you're right. They are a lot less because it does seem like they're surging resources to areas where there has been different voting types than us. But who knows? Based on the primary results, maybe we'll get a surge. But for you being in Lawrence, Kansas, you can try the Sanctuary Alliance. They're an advocacy group that provides resources for the local immigrant community. And they have, you know, education, rights education, community organizing. I think statewide, I'm not sure about if they're statewide, but I felt like I read a couple articles about Advocates for Immigrant Rights and Reconciliation, which is AIRR. I think it's AIRRKC.org. They're more out of Kansas City, but they've been really present during a lot of the raids. They're a frontline responder organization. They do Know Your Rights trainings. And I think they've been pretty instrumental in challenging some of the arrests. You know, it's horrifying that anybody's getting arrested at all, but the good news is it appears to be legal. Watchers, the ACLU of Illinois and Kansas and all that are paying attention and getting involved in kind of these central Midwest cases. So it's not going unnoticed, but it's still terrifying when there's people surging. But I'd try to see if maybe AIRR has some Know Your Rights sessions in your area or online. And if not, maybe some in your area. Because I think when you at least get a handle on this is what the raids look like, this is what you can do if you see it, this is what I think the federal prosecutor has made statements, I won't say threatening, but kind of making it clear that you can't follow too closely, you can't drive a certain way, whatever. So just getting trained by a hyper-local organization. And if you're a mom and you can't put yourself physically out on the front lines where you're whistling or whatever, just there might be a signal chat or something where you could report where stuff's at, where it would be something that you're not necessarily, you're documenting, which is also extremely helpful, even if you're not, you know, firsthand protesting. So there's a lot of roles.
Filming is one of the biggest things they've said people can do, because I mean, otherwise there might not be an account of what happened. And to all of those things that Heather suggested, I think that would help anybody feel like you're prepared against this huge monster that, or more prepared at least. So it lessens the anxiety and fear a bit.
Yeah, and
I
don't
know
what
to do.
Don't feel like you're being dramatic. It's a huge monster. I mean,
for sure. Absolutely.
ICE and DHS has like more funding than most militaries in the world. So it's a lot of, there's a lot of resources being allocated towards it, but that's not to say that it's not untoppable and that there are not things, you know, sometimes it's just that little rock that'll take Goliath out. So you might be the rock with your, you know, your video, that person that showed up in the streets of Minnesota that was just like, I'm just filming this guy, help a lady out. You have no idea what your video might be able to do. So,
for sure.
And seeing one person film and you still film. So you have it from like six different angles. So I'm not saying you got to immediately go out and film stuff, but grab some training, some Know Your Rights training and empower yourself. That might help out a little bit.
And know that we're all in this together, and you're not overreacting. This is a wild timeline we're living in. The more of us that recognize that and aren't afraid to talk about it, I think the more powerful that is when it's spoken into existence that this is happening and we're not all just ignoring it.
Yeah, and I think there is a, in my experience, it is an overwhelmingly white position to take, which is, well, we've got to be polite. You know, we can't talk about things like that. And people are dying. You know what I mean? Fuck that. And I'm all for being respectful and I'm all for being kind, but it is impolite, in fact, to turn your eyes away while people are being brutally gunned down mm-hmm. in the street and stacked, you know, 70 deep and abused as kids and all that, you know, all the horrific things that are going on with ICE. So I applaud you for, you know, having that feeling of like, I want to do something. Mm-hmm. And there's a million things, you know, food pantries might need your help or giving kids rides to school if their parents are nervous to give them rides, stuff like that. So you have no idea until getting plugged into the community. And that's like the one good thing about all this horror is I think we are all getting more plugged into our local community. I've talked to more people locally doing organizational stuff in the last 6 months than I have in probably the last 6 years. And that's on me for having a blind spot. So, yeah. So,
well, when we know better, we do better. So,
ma'am. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, this final one we got is from Dara, and the subject line is, I almost got snatched at the bus stop. Hi, ladies. My name is Dara, and I love you both deeply. You may remember me as I'm the one who made you the moon earrings and brought them to the Charlotte, North Carolina Full Moon Energy Show. Yes, we remember and we love those earrings and you and the CLT, baby.
I remember you well and I love them and that was a great show. Thank you so much.
I'm trying to get back to Charlotte and hit the rail trail.
Dude, right?
Well, Dara says, I'd like to tell you about the time I almost got grabbed from the school bus stop. First, to set the scene, I need to make it clear how small I was. This happened in sixth grade, and I was 10 years old. On my first day of this school year, the school bus drove directly past me, then came back and asked if I was waiting for the middle school bus and apologized because they thought I was waiting for the elementary bus. My backpack was bigger than I was. Anywho, this particular morning, I'm standing there alone as I was the only one who caught this bus. A young man, probably between the ages of 18 and 25, walked up and started making general conversation. Red flag number one. This was not my first time encountering a weird person. My mom worked at the drugstore next to the apartment complex, and I helped her after school. Being the born people pleaser I was, I didn't immediately want to run off a la Home Alone style for no reason if he was just weird, but okay. He was not okay. He took my hand, my tiny child hand, in his, and he started asking me to walk with him. Then he started walking and dragging me along behind him. He got me across the parking lot and onto a sidewalk right inside the apartment complex that was so narrow it would be better described as an alley. It's so narrow that even then, I could have touched both sides of the sidewalk with stretching my arms all the way apart. Once he had us in his tiny enclosed sidewalk, he started asking for a kiss. Fuck that. I pulled my arm harder than I ever had and, honestly, harder than I would have thought I could have. I remembered seeing a maintenance man for the complex picking up trash in the area a little while earlier, so I started yelling his name at the top of my lungs. Bill! Bill! I screamed until he lost hold enough for me to bolt. I lived halfway across the complex, and I wasn't sure if I should even go to my apartment, because what if he was following me? Would he see where I lived? No one was home. Would he come after me there? No one else was home that I knew of, and it was 7-something a.m., so I took off to my apartment. I locked the door so fast, and once I could breathe, I called my mom at work. She called my grandma to leave work and come get me and give me a ride to school. We didn't have a car at the time, and to walk over to her drugstore, I would have had to walk directly past this area again. She also called the school, and they had me tell my story to the school resource officer when I got there. Unfortunately, that is where this story ends. I don't know if anything ever came of my ordeal as far as if they ever looked for or found the guy. But when we told the apartment complex staff, all they said was, "Oh, Bill is almost completely deaf, so he probably never heard anything, and he didn't even know you were calling him." Oh, cool, cool, cool. I included a pic of my tuxedo guy looking handsome. Don't let him fool you. His name is Loki for a reason. Lots of love. Keep on creeping, and I'll catch you whenever you're near Charlotte. Lots of love and light. Dara. Never in my life would I ever think it was appropriate for an 18-year-old to even, aside from if a kid at a bus stop has fallen and hurt themselves and you're like, "Let me help you up, kiddo." And like, "Did you drop your lunchbox container?" Not like, "You want to go kiss in the alleyway?" Like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is so scary. This, I've said before, my biggest fear as a kid was being kidnapped and to be standing by yourself at the bus stop so early in the morning and have... This guy clearly was up to some very deviant, sinister shit. And good for you for recognizing even at such a young age, like, fuck this. And you, Bill might not have heard you, but this pervert did. And it was enough for you to get away. So amazing.
No, truly. And it's, I mean, regardless if Bill heard you or not, I'm sure it's probably scary for the perpetrator to hear you not just yell, "Somebody help me," but to be like, "Oh, Bill, you see me. You're mm-hmm. there." So maybe that helped deter him as well. Maybe he ran off or something like that. But man, that bus stop by yourself to where the bus just drives past you and then Dude. No one around, man, I was very fortunate not to have been a bus kid except for, you know, like intra-school stuff because I feel like it instills a lot of responsibility in you, but especially back in the, you know, our childhood days, there was some rough shit happening at the bus, you know, always warning us.
I didn't ride a bus either. We lived too far from school and we live close enough to walk our kids to school. So
that's how I was kind of,
yeah. But any 18 to 25-year-old looking dude that's walking around by himself at 7 in the morning, walking by bus stops and taking advantage of that needs to be put in jail. And even if all he did was ask for a kiss, I don't care. I've had it with pedophiles and—
No, he should be underneath the bus.
The first inkling that someone has sexual deviant thoughts about children, they go bye-bye. That's the new rule.
I think so. Like I said, I think he should be underneath the bus.
Yeah. And you get to drive it, Dara.
Truly. But it's one of those things where I do think if societally, because we have to be, and I don't think that's a hot take normally, but we do have to be aware because there is a concerted effort at this time right now to feed us this ill-conceived notion that it is it's okay if you're sexually attracted to kids. Like mm-hmm. there's like an opinion, I think in the Wall Street Journal or in some that was like pedophilia isn't. And I'm like, are we at that point where you're trying to excuse? Cause you're not. So because we are a matriarchy, we are the ones, we're the key holders. So as you listen to this, regardless of the gender that you identify with, the gender you were assigned with birth, whatever it is, we're all key holders in the matriarchy. And part of being a key holder of this matriarchy is that if you hear that someone is harmful at all to children, is you do have to kill them yourselves with your bare hands. No, I'm just kidding. But no, for real. I mean, I think we have to bring back, you know, ostracizing, shaming, and hard line. Again, do not let them tell you have to be a good little girl and be polite. That's what the patriarchy is. And that you can suck my dick because I will literally fist fight you if I hear anybody ever sniff a kid that I'm related to or like I consider being related to your kids. That is the attitude we all have.
I'll go to jail.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Or I tell a friend of mine has kids and I was like, if you ever call me at like 3 a.m. and we're like, I need your help. I've killed someone. Because, and I'd be like, I'll come get you. Because like that, we're beyond that. And if we have, I think that we're going to get to a point where we see more vigilantes, which we don't want. We want a system that has a lot of reporting, people listening, people believing, people upholding stories. So we don't have to get to a vigilante, I'm going to hit you with the school bus situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometimes you have a situation like this. Oh, a guy grabbed a little girl at the school bus and I don't know, we couldn't find him. Not anymore. Not anymore. We will use the keys of the matriarchy and we will find you.
We'll unlock every door with those keys and then we'll use them to drive the bus right over this pervert.
Unfortunately, you will have to die, sir. But truly, I think, Dara, you did the right thing, the best you could in that circumstance, which is like try to find somebody you know and run the fuck away. But,
yeah, how scary to be 10 years old and in such a scary situation. And adults prey on that. That's why they're doing it, is because kids can be manipulated and are smaller and to them helpless and powerless. But you do not have to be. You get to be the 10-year-old that, even though you look like you're in elementary school, you're like, I'll fucking bite your dick off if you get any closer to me.
Yank!
I'll smack you in the fucking face so hard that your mom won't recognize you.
They're not going to have the wanted picture is not even going to look like you because I've beat your ass. But I appreciate you sharing that with us, Dara, because a lot of times when stuff happens to us when we're kids, we don't even talk about it a lot until we're much older too.
We minimize it a lot.
Yeah, it's never too late to talk about it and it's always relevant and it matters because it happened to you and we wanted to hear about it. So thank
Absolutely.
you.
Absolutely. Yes. And I think this is another example of like, there's probably a lot of people listening that can relate to this somehow and it makes them feel less alone or maybe encouraged to speak about something that they've felt shame about for a long time, but none of it is your fault. And that's to everyone. You're a kid. It can't be your fault. It's always the adult's fault. It's never the kid's fault.
Trying to catch a school bus and a snake slithered by.
Yes, absolutely.
But we do appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing with us.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much to everybody who sent in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email. You get immediate access to the chat, to the videos, and a whole backlog of free content on our Patreon just for being a free member.
We love it. And if you want to try everything on the top highest tier but not pay for it at all, we have a free trial. It's where you join for a week at any of the tiers, but we always recommend the best tier because that way you get all the perks. You can binge everything, see what's going on in there, and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. If you do stick around, opt for an annual membership so you get that 1 month free and you get a whole year of so much stuff.
You can stack up the things to where you could really milk it for all it's worth, which is exactly what I would do.
It's called the Milk It Plan on Patreon.
It's the Milk It Plan, We're going to start a Milk It tier. I mean, there are over 1,000 hours of content on there, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Emma the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input. And when you sign up for one of those annual memberships and get your month free, you also get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop in the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Check the pin post on Patreon to get your Patreon merch discount.
And while you're on our website, you can review the show, submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, submit your Freaky Friday stories. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets and information for Crime Wave at Sea 2027.
We cannot wait. Go over. Yeah, get your cabin now because they are going to sell out. It's so many more creators this year that they're selling fast. We keep getting updates and we keep being like, got to make sure we got spots for y'all, but we can't guarantee them. So you got to book them now. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister or go to our website and click on live shows. And there's tons of information there. Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you just want to treat yourself to a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congrats on whatever, we would love to create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. Not only is it an incredibly thoughtful gift, but it's perfect for when you don't want to deal with the hassles of shopping or you're looking for a custom gift that they've never gotten before. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm wherever you find people at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.